Hi, Jim Paoletti here. I'd like to spend just a few minutes talking to you about cortisol and its interactions with the other endocrine hormones. I consider cortisol to be the chief disruptor of the endocrine system because it affects the production and/or function of every other endocrine hormone. When a patient is stressed, you get an increased release of CRH and ACTH, and it signals for the adrenals to produce more cortisol, epinephrine, and norepinephrine in the normal fight or flight response. The physiological changes that take place as a response to this increased release of cortisol, epinephrine, and norepinephrine are normal survival adaptations. But our bodies weren't meant to have these reactions occurring for long periods of time, more than maybe 15 or 20 minutes, or chronically repeated on a regular basis. When chronic stress occurs, high cortisol has multiple detrimental metabolic effects, including elevated glucose, increased insulin resistance, decreased kidney function, depressed immune function, accelerated free radical damage, increased catabolism of muscle tissue, poor GI absorption, which means poor nutritional absorption, sleep disruption, decreased thyroid function, alterations in the sex hormone levels. And so if there's one hormone that's deeply integrated into the aging process, it's cortisol. High response to stress and high cortisol ages a person. So let's look at how abnormal cortisol levels affect the other hormones. First, high cortisol levels can directly inhibit gonadotropin-releasing hormone, LH, and FSH. It also directly inhibits synthesis of estrogen and testosterone. All these inhibitions can result in lower estrogen and/or testosterone levels. High cortisol levels increase the local conversion of testosterone in fat tissue to estrogen by stimulating the enzyme aromatase. They also decrease the synthesis of progesterone and decrease the function of progesterone, as cortisol competitively blocks progesterone as a receptor. These actions can create a state of relative estrogen dominance, even if the overall level of estrogen is lower than normal, and this relative excess of estrogen can lead to downregulation of estrogen receptors. High cortisol level causes tissue resistance to the receptors for estradiol, progesterone, the androgens, thyroid, and insulin. So chronic high cortisol levels can cause symptoms that are commonly associated with deficiencies of all of the other hormones. Looking again at more in depth at cortisol and testosterone, I see a lot of issues in men because I don't think men are routinely adequately checked for their cortisol levels and adrenal function. But cortisol's genomic actions oppose those of testosterone, catabolic versus anabolic. Cortisol also opposes genomically the effects of DHEA on glucose regulation and immune regulation. But high cortisol suppresses LH, which leads to decreased production. So you're making less testosterone. Testosterone is also lowered by increasing the conversion by stimulating the aromatase due to high cortisol. And since cortisol lowers progesterone production and function, and progesterone blocks that aromatase stimulation by cortisol, you have the stimulation due to increased cortisol enhanced by the fact that there's less progesterone to block it. So all these actions go together to say, if you have high cortisol on a regular basis, your testosterone level is going to be messed up and your function is going to be affected. High cortisol levels also increase insulin resistance. Increased insulin resistance can lead to higher insulin levels and in turn lead to increased cortisol levels. High cortisol levels also decrease growth hormone and IGF-1, melatonin production, and DHEA production. Abnormal cortisol levels significantly alter thyroid production and function by multiple mechanisms. High CRH and high cortisol both suppress TSH, lowering the production of hormones. High cortisol also blocks the conversion of free T4 to the active free T3, which increases the amount of reverse T3 produced. Reverse T3 blocks the action of free T3 at the thyroid receptors, so you have a lower amount of free T3 produced, and you have more blocking by the additional reverse T3 that's made. Additionally, high cortisol decreases the responsiveness of the thyroid receptor. If you have low cortisol, that results in decreased absorption of free T3 into the cell, decreases the density of free T3 receptors, and decreases the responsiveness of the thyroid receptor. So both high cortisol and low cortisol levels result in a functional hypothyroidism. Low cortisol levels result from chronic stress when the adrenal glands are no longer able to meet the demand, or the hippocampus may speedily downregulate the HPA axis in response to chronic high cortisol. Either way, the result is low cortisol levels. Low levels result in a decrease in the density of all hormone receptors, leading to tissue resistance. Progesterone levels may also be lowered as more progesterone is converted to make cortisol. Aldosterone and pregnenolone levels may be decreased in a similar manner. Cortisol is the king of hormones, in my opinion. It affects the function of all other hormones. So if it's not regulated, it can be very difficult to control hormonal symptoms with normal physiological doses. Hormone symptom management should therefore always include assessing and treating adrenal function. Thank you very much for listening.